Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
There's a number of different things going on here. Obviously, they're treating this woman like garbage. This is totally uncalled for. And this is what they do. They basically throw her at the feet of Jesus. Now, how many of you know this? There is no greater place for a sinner to be. No greater place for a sinner to be. They actually bless her.
Time and time again, throughout the four Gospels, the Pharisees tried to lay traps for Jesus, hoping to catch him, reveal that he was a fraud. The problem is, how can you trick God? In today's message, Pastor Jim teaches that they tried to pin the compassion and justness of Jesus against one another by laying a sinner at his feet. But where else would you rather be? You will learn how he delivered a masterclass on forgiveness, mercy, and grace while showing the Pharisees who they truly are. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 8 as he continues his message, Go and Sin No More.
Transforming grace is when you receive the forgiveness of sins, the love and mercy of God, and when you do sin, you will still sin, okay? Your sins are forgiven, but you still do sin, and you repent through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, God will begin to touch every area of your life, every area of your life. And part of transforming grace is there will be things in your life that you didn't even know existed that God will start to change. And there will be things, this is not going to be very encouraging for some of us, that you thought you were done with 20 years ago, and then they rear their ugly head again. Right? All the older Christians are like, yeah, that's the way it goes, man, right? Okay, and so God is working with you, and that is something you must need to understand is, it is a process. It is a process. Until when? Until a follower of Jesus is perfected in glory. It keeps going on. And it seems to me that many people that call themselves Christians, whether they are or not, I do not know, okay, struggle to strike the balance between the forgiveness of sins and a changed life. But the forgiveness of sins is an immediate thing, and it's an ongoing thing. We should still be confessing our sins, but our life is being changed. Now, before I go any further, if you are not a follower of Jesus, I want to thank you for being here today. I want to welcome you. If you want to talk to me after service, you want to set up a time to talk, be happy to talk to you. Love talking with people who don't know Jesus. I didn't become a Christian until I was 29, so I was like 3 or 4 years ago. And why do you still keep laughing at that? Right? Some of these people think I'm older than 35. I can't believe it. Stuff like that, really. So much for Pastor Appreciation Month, right? But if you're not a follower of Jesus, you're really welcome here. And I also want to tell you that you probably just sat through one of the longest introductions I've ever given to a message before. So come back and I'll do better next week. So let's set the scene. Last week, we ended up in John chapter 7, verse 53, and it said this, and everyone went to his own house. Remember, they were in the temple, and then they went to their own house, and we move into chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down, and he taught them. Okay, so back then, it was common for the teacher to sit and the people to stand. What's up with that? What's up with that? So the idea was, the reason that the teacher sat, and when I used to teach the Through the Bible, I used to sit, but now I just stand. And so the idea was, the teacher sat because it was a position of authority. So there's Jesus in the temple, sitting as a position of authority. What do you think the religious leaders thought of that? Yeah, not too happy about that. And apparently the crowd around Jesus is big. All the people just like, we're going to flock to this guy, man, because he's not boring like the other guys are. We want to listen to him. And it's a perfect setup. The religious leaders are smart. They're no dummies. They're like, hey, this is a perfect setup to trap Jesus and discredit him. But while Jesus was a Bible teacher, as we said last week, Jesus was able to make the word of God understandable to people. Now, does anybody remember what I asked you to do for me last week? Yes, to pray for me as that I could make the Bible understandable to people. I don't want, your faces are already telling me you forgot. Okay. All right. Okay. And so let me just be honest with you. A lot of times people come to me and they'll say, I tried to teach the Bible to people and it was a flop. And I say, yeah, well, it can be, because teaching the Bible is not easy. Because if you make it too simple, what happens? The seasoned followers of Jesus are left starving and unchallenged. And they get bored. They get bored by it. And a lot of them go to other churches that are entertaining. And I know so many of them call me up and they go, I went to this church. I shouldn't have left Calvary. I'm falling away because I don't know what I'm doing, what's going on. Others say if you make it too complex, those that are newer to the faith or those that are not yet followers of Jesus will be too confused. Now, the church is leaning towards, in the past like 50 years, towards people who really don't really know much of anything. I personally think that's a mistake. What do I think you're supposed to do? I think you're supposed to teach both at the same time. And people say, well, that's too hard. Well, that's the job, because that's the way Jesus did it, and that's the way the apostles did it. So we come to verse 3 and 4. Then the scribes and the Pharisees, two groups who really didn't like each other, but Jesus is so good at uniting the people that hate him, right? He's good at that. The scribes and the Pharisees brought to him, to Jesus, a woman caught in adultery. Some scholars say that that word indicates that she was probably married. And when they had set her in the midst, or they made her stand in the center of all the people, verse 4, they said to him, to Jesus, teacher. Stop right there. Now, they don't like Jesus. They don't think he's a teacher. But what are they doing? They're using a nice word to set him up. Oh, teacher, we admire you. And like, oh, to the people, we admire you, right? They don't want to show their hatred. Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Okay, now, this clearly is a setup, and there's one question we should ask. Do you know what that question is? Where is the dude? Where is the man? Where's that guy? So Jesus knows what's going on. He's already knows what's going on. The word caught means that without a doubt, okay? And sadly, and ladies, I'm gonna really support you today. So when the men try and beat me up after service, you gotta help me, okay? All right. So sadly, the abuse of male leaders in the church throughout history and even today is very real. It's very real. And I don't really get it. My father used to always tell me two things. You treat women like a gentleman, and you never talk bad about your wife in public. Right? Never talk bad about your wife in public. And I hear guys doing that, and I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Okay? And so they see this as a perfect trap. And so they're like, we caught this woman, okay? She's guilty in adultery, right? Let's think about some options. They could have kept her somewhere and brought her to Jesus. But they didn't do that. Do you know why? Because she's not on trial. Jesus is on trial. And they want to slam her down and say, what do you think? You see, the religious leaders are smart. They know that Jesus is very compassionate, particularly towards sinners. Can I ask you a question? Are you really excited that Jesus is compassionate towards sinners? Most of you, yes. Some of you are not so sure. I meet people every once in a while and they tell me, I'm not a sinner. To which most of you go, okay, thank you. I go, can I have 5 minutes of your time? And they go, 5 minutes? I go, it won't take that long, but just in case. okay? Just in case, right? It's very easy to tell because we're all sinners. It's part of the way we are, okay? And the Pharisees were the legalists. They were the rules guys. The scribes were more like the theologians and the attorneys. So here we have together, we have a crowd of people. We have the judge and the jury, the religious leaders there. We have this woman in the middle, and we have Jesus standing there. Are you got the picture? You got to get the picture. Let's go back to the temple. You're there, okay? Put yourself in the scene there. You're an observer. You're watching what's going on, okay? Right? And so you see what this is. The Bible scholars tell us that in the first century and after that, the woman was blamed for sexual sin. So whenever there was sexual sin between a man and a woman, the woman was blamed. How do you feel about that, ladies? I'm not getting many reactions. I got one person going like this. Okay? The guys all have their heads down. I'm just like, pass me the bologna. Right? I mean, you're even kidding me. You got to be kidding me. You know, boys will be boys. Oh, God, get out of here. Get out of here. This is insulting. Okay? And to be honest, historically, the church has come down harsher on sexual sin than just about anything else. Yet again, today, it's largely ignored. And often people, okay, and organizations move from one extreme to the other. What do I mean by that? You have a group of people over here that are nasty about it, and then you have a group of people here who don't care about it. And how often I've seen people move from this group to that group, right? But nobody stops in the middle. But that's where you find the grace of God, in the middle. And we'll be talking about that as we go along. There's a number of different things going on here. Obviously, they're treating this woman like garbage. This is totally uncalled for. And this is what they do. They basically throw her at the feet of Jesus. Now, how many of you know this? There is no greater place for a sinner to be. No greater place for a sinner to be. They actually bless her by throwing her at the feet of Jesus. They think they are doing something awful, but they are doing something wonderful. We will see they want Jesus to take action, and he will most of all in 6 months, because remember we said he's about 6 months away from dying on the cross. Verse 5, the religious leader still speaking. Now Moses, they're going way back, over 1,000 years, in the law commanded us that such, some of your versions throw in the word woman to make it more clear, should be stoned. Half true. But what do you say? So what are they trying to do? They're trying to corner Jesus. I have one bit of advice for them. Good luck with that. Not going to happen. By the way, you're not going to corner Jesus. Just so you know, it's not going to happen. Now, let's just look at the first half of verse 6. This they said, testing him. Why? That they might have something of which to accuse him. Well, let's stop right there. So in verse 5, they go, hey, this is the deal. You know this, Jesus. Moses told us, God told Moses to tell us to stone her. Well, again, I said it's half true because why? Because the guy's not there. So if the guy's not there, it's not right. We're not told anything about the evidence, and adultery charges were very rare because of the evidence that was needed. Plus, the Roman Empire did not allow the Jewish people to invoke the death penalty. Remember, they were under Roman occupation. They couldn't do the death penalty. And except some would say when a Gentile, a non-Jew, was in the temple area reserved for the Jews. And so there's very little evidence that people were stoned to death for adultery in the first century. Also, another thing was, back then, it was so easy for a husband to divorce a wife. You could be like, I didn't like dinner. You're done. That's it. A wife, divorce the husband? No. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Right? That wouldn't work. But, you know, whatever reason they wanted to. Now, for those of you who are taking notes on these things, Matthew chapter 19, you will see Jesus being very supportive of marriage. And from the early part of the Bible, marriage is a gift from God. Okay, so the first half of verse 6 makes sure we understand what's going on. Once again, we realize that it's Jesus that's on trial. They're just using this woman to set Jesus up. Horrible, horrible. But what are they doing? They're going to pit his compassion and mercy against the law of God and the Romans' law. That's what they're going to do. And so I'm sure the religious leaders think that they've got Jesus, okay, and he's going to be in big trouble. So they ask Jesus, basically, you know, we're supposed to stone her. What do you think? Now let me ask you this question. If Jesus had said, I want her stoned, how many of you and I would be much more hesitant to come to Jesus for mercy? I would be like, I wonder if he's going to stone me for this one, right? We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't do that. If you come to Jesus asking for the forgiveness of sins, and I would also say this, when you come to Jesus asking for sins, it's important to want to have a heart to change. Doesn't mean you'll get it all from the beginning, okay? Sometimes we ask and we fail. Okay, we have to understand that. But it's very, very important that we do understand that we want to have a heart for change. And if you do, Jesus will forgive you and he will begin to help you to change through a whole variety of ways. A whole variety of ways. And I think of Jesus' words in Matthew 28. He says this, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden. For some of us, our sin is absolutely crushing us. It's crushing us. We come to church, we're like, okay, I hear you, God, and you walk out the door, and immediately it starts in again. For some of us, it's absolutely crushing us. Some versions say you're weary and you're burdened. You're at the point in time where you cannot take it anymore. You can't, and you don't know what to do. Jesus says, you come to me, all you are heavy and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, rest would include what? Helping you to stop what you're doing now. Here, as we will see, I doubt Jesus is really thinking about himself. I don't see that at all. I think he's thinking really about this. How can I protect this woman from these jerks with grace and mercy and without compromising the law of God? How can I do that? Remember, Jesus knows that we're going to be reading this stuff later on. Well, the second half of verse 6 says this, but Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. Now, if you have your Bible, you're using the same version we are, that last part, which is the New King James Version, most of the other Bibles don't have as though he did not hear. So most of the Bibles say, Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. Now, the big question a lot of people ask is, what did Jesus write? To be honest, we don't know. By far and away, the most popular one is the sins of the accusing religious leaders. Okay? But we don't know if that's the truth or not. To be honest with you, can I be honest with you? You promise not to tell any people that are not here this week? My wicked heart loves that. I just love that. I think that would be so good, right? But we don't know. But maybe, just maybe, and this is part of what happens when you're do what I do during the week, when you're wrestling with the text, maybe we should not focus on what Jesus wrote, but maybe we should focus on what he wrote with his finger. With his finger. Because the finger of God wrote the Ten Commandments. finger of God. Now, we don't believe God has fingers. We believe it's a metaphor. Very good, very good. We've learned a lot of metaphors that, okay? And so as God wrote for his people, Jesus could be making the statement, okay, I write the word of God. Me and my Father and the Holy Spirit, we write the word of God. And the word of God speaks of people like you. It's all over the place. And I am, with this finger, I am the authority of God. Now, if you would think, if you would think that didn't get the religious leaders angry, that would make them insanely angry. And it seems to me, you could put this under opinion, right? You know, opinion, Pastor Jim, mediocre, good, worthless, whatever, okay? Put it under there, and I would say this, the depravity of the self-righteous religious leaders in what they are trying to do is much worse than what this woman did. This is absolutely horrible. Verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he raised himself up, or Jesus stood up, and he said to them, now watch this, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Okay, this is what happens when we read our Bibles too quick. We don't really look at what's going on. What is he doing? He's calling them to self-examination. He's saying, I want you to examine your own hearts. And please, 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 don't think he's just calling them to do it. He's calling us to do it. And he's telling us, listen, when you catch people that are in a sin that claim to be followers of Jesus, or catch people that are in a sin that are not followers of Jesus, whoever they are, remember, you are a sinner too. And that will change the way you approach people. So many people are just so nasty to people. When I hear people being so nasty to people about their sin, now you're nice people and you listen to them. I'm obnoxious. I have an excuse. I'm from New York. I don't know what yours is. Okay? When I listen to people like that, I go, I think you might be guilty of the same thing. How many guys we have seen over the years get on television talking about certain sins that they think are bad, and then we find out 2 years later they're guilty of the same thing. They're guilty of the same thing. Terrible, terrible stuff. And so he's calling them to self-examination, verse 8 and 9. And again he stood down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, now this next section is not in most of the texts either, being convicted of by their conscience, perhaps added in to help people think about what was going on, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone. Now stop right now. Who is the only guy in that crowd who can throw a stone? Jesus. He's the only guy. Everybody else got to go. He doesn't leave. He didn't have to go. So Jesus was left alone, okay, and the woman standing in the midst. So the religious leaders will not back down. And Jesus says to them, it's actually a forceful command, if you are without sin, throw a stone. Very emphatic. Go ahead. You not know sin? Throw a stone. And what Jesus is telling us is that this judgment will be made by the sinless one, and Jesus digs into their hearts. And this is the problem when we read the Bible. Let the Bible dig into your heart too.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. Our hope and prayer is that all of our listeners would grow into committed followers of Jesus Christ. And we are overjoyed to play whatever role we can in helping you mature in your faith. Would you like to know more about us? Maybe you would like to pass on this message to a friend or family member. If so, go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. Maybe you have a question or need some guidance. We don't want to replace your pastor, but we are here to help. Our email address is changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. You may be surprised to know how excited Pastor Jim and the Changed by Love radio team are to hear from you. In fact, it's common for Pastor Jim to pass on your encouragement to the congregation, since we consider all of our listeners part of our family. Would you prayerfully consider financially partnering with us so we can continue bringing Pastor Jim's simple teaching to you each day? Some people give monthly, some periodically, and some others a one-time gift. Every gift helps further God's kingdom, and we all play an important role in that. Simply go to our website at changedbyloveradio.org and click the donate button. Our goal is to simply share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ to you, your friends, your family, and your community. We would love to hear from you, and please let us know what station you hear Changed by Love Radio on. We pray you stay close to Jesus and that you will be changed by love. God bless you.